I have to welcome you again. Thank you for making yourself available. I have to tell you that our social media director said that your title, Submarine Force Pacific Fleet's Force Master Chief Cash Caldwell, wreaks havoc on Twitter.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I hadn't visited that site, so I have no knowledge of that. But I'm happy to hear that nonetheless.
It's just the number of words in your title. You are highly lauded, retiree this month. You're just adjusting to retirement, and the U.S. Navy let us know about you because you were raised in Henry County, Tennessee.
That's right, just down the road from you, in a little community called the Elkhorn Community on a farm down there.
And upon retirement, you received the Legion of Merit Award. That is a really big deal, and so we're all very proud of you. And I'd like to start by asking you, what does a Force Master Chief or the Commander Submarine Force U.S. Navy Pacific Fleet, what do you do as that person?
Well, primarily I'm the advisor to the Admiral, who is in charge of the Submarine Force in the Pacific Ocean, and also extending over into Fifth Fleet, which includes the Indian Ocean as well. We have approximately 11,500 sailors in SUBPAC, and all either directly involved in submarine business or in support of those submarines.
So you were especially praised for establishing a sacred bond with the sailors that you were charged to lead. How do you establish such a bond?
Well, I think any senior enlisted leader has that responsibility, you know, to develop trust with the young sailors. You do so, I think, by helping them in their lives as individuals and, you know, show them the pathway to success, both in their military endeavors and but in a bigger way, making them successful in life. And that comes through making good decisions, you know, with their personal behavior and also with their professional growth. So it's just a constant effort. I'm probably no different than any other senior leader in figuring out that you have to care about the individual. And when you care about the individual, then the organization by itself is just going to be successful.
Master Chief Caldwell, what does it mean when we read that you were the lead pilot for the design of the fly-by-wire ship control system?
Yes, that goes back to my time in Washington, D.C., working with civilian engineers, designing the Virginia-class submarine. And it was a special time. First off, being in our nation's capital was a wonderful experience. And but further, developing the fly-by-wire system is really just coming forward with the technology that a lot of modern-day aircraft use, where submarines, instead of being hands-on yokes and driving submarines that way, it's more an autopilot where you basically touch a computer screen and operate all the systems, you know, to drive and operate the submarine.
Why did you choose to become a submariner 3 decades ago?
Well, that's a good question. I wanted to do something hard, something difficult and challenging. I've been in college for a couple of years down at one of your neighbor universities, UT Martin, and I decided I needed a bigger challenge. And I was a bit spontaneous, I think, at that time in my life, and I woke up one morning and said, let's do it. Let's go join the Navy. Let's get into the submarines. And it was probably the most challenging thing I could have gotten myself into. And particularly in the early 80s, there was still the Cold War that was being done. Submarines were very viable and in our national interests. And getting out there and doing our submarine business as a young man, you know, provided that challenge. I fell in love with it. enjoyed it, and couldn't stomach really the thought of ever getting away from it. You know, there's something to be said about being able to take yourself off the grid for a bit, and that's what submarining provided. And I just enjoyed it. It was great fun. Got to travel and see places in the world that I would never have seen otherwise. I've been to the North Pole a couple of times and literally seen most of the planet through a periscope.
No fooling. That's a world that, you know, most of us will never experience. When you first began submarining, what was your first job?
Oh, well, oddly, in the submarine tradition, when you report to a submarine, you're put into mess cook duties, where you work in the galley with the cooks and you help provide support, you know, for the crew, because a submarine is a 24-hour-a-day business, and 4 meals a day are served, and we've got to feed that crew of about 150 people. So those folks need help. So you get into that, and you get to wash dishes, and you really get to work pretty hard and figure out kind of who you are, and let the crew get to know you better. So and that's the first step. And then you work on your qualifications. And to earn those silver dolphins is really just a, in other words, to become qualified in submarines is really a thrill for any young man. So that's a sacred piece of being a submariner, is earning those silver dolphins, which means that you can be trusted, you know, to combat various casualties that may come up, including fire or flooding, and that the crew knows that they can trust you with your knowledge of how a submarine operates to be able to participate in those sorts of casualties should they come up, and to be able to, you know, save the ship.
Well, speaking of saving the ship, what was the tightest spot you've ever been in a submarine?
Oh, my. Well, without getting into any classified type of information, there have been some times. I think back to when we were under the ice. We were doing some scientific-type work up there. And I can remember with there's some spots up there where there's not very much room as far as the depth of the water goes between, you know, the bottom of the ocean and the top of the ice keels, which you know, extend down below the polar ice caps. Mm-hmm. And I felt that I was a little bit too nervous during that time, and just because the consequences for not driving the ship properly can be, you know, quite severe. That's a very hostile environment for a submarine. So I would think that that would be probably one of the tightest situations that I've been in.
Quite literally. Now, listen, when you retired this month, you received the shadow box. What is that about?
Well, it's a traditional presentation to folks who retire. It goes back, you know, several hundred years. I would say a couple hundred years or more when old sailors would transition off the ship at some point. You know, everyone has to, and so the traditional is to provide a gift to them, and that gift includes various mementos commemorating their time in the Navy, you know, their awards that they've received. Also provides a storage location for, you know, your uniforms that you've had, any special mementos that you may have taken from your career in the Navy. And mine is beautiful, by the way. They did a great job building my shadow box, so I was very pleased.
Well, it was clear that you were well-loved by the Navy, and it sounds like you're still emotionally invested in the U.S. Navy, and we congratulate you for your career, and thank you for service. And thanks for speaking with me today.
Well, Kate, it's my pleasure to speak with you, and thank you very much. And the Navy will always be in my heart, and as well, just to recognize right now that there are many, many great young Americans serving their country, not only in the Navy, but in the other services as well. It's just been a privilege for me to be a part of that.
We've been speaking with Navy Master Chief Cash Caldwell. of Henry County originally. Thank you again, and safe travels.
Thank you very much, Kate. Look forward to getting home.